It's almost Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Carlos Medina subbing in for Matt. He'll be back tomorrow from vacation, but you finally get your Kang back. Only took a better part of a week, but he has returned to sit on his throne and to dole out college football information for you.
Yeah, back to work, man. That's what it is.
You look good. I mean, you look like you got some sun and you're refreshed and ready to go. And you needed to recharge the batteries because college football season's essentially here.
Absolutely. And, it's a full day, year round. But during football season, work Saturday and Sundays. So I'm not complaining about anything. But, I mean, I enjoyed my time at the beach and I had my spray. Spray 50. Do you use the spray, SPF?
I've done the spray.
Oh, my gosh. It's the best thing ever.
It's the best thing ever because you spray, and then you only have to wait about 3 or 4 minutes if you really want to go get in the water.
You get perfect coverage. You never, if you try to put lotion, anybody on this planet that is still using that brown bottle of Coppertone,
you will miss.
And just some in that. You wind up with that one spot, usually on one of your rib cages,
yep,
where it's a hand outline of, like, around it, is burned.
Well, and it's also, too, just underneath those shoulder blades, you can't get back there.
The spray is fantastic. So, yeah, I went 50 on my body, 30 on my face, and I seem to survive.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, we are going to do a special report. This one is going to deal with the possibility of Chuck drowning. So this is kind of like a PSA of a situation that he had while at the beach. And about 20 minutes from now, too, I'm going to talk about the looming Matt Ryan contract issue. It's coming around again. We'll tell you about how that is going to be a bit of a concern, but Chuck, we've had more movement in the NBA. Dwayne Wade last night, the rumors were that he was looking for 2 years and $50 million, or that he wanted 3 years on the deal. No one would give him the third year. You heard about partial guarantees. Ultimately, the Chicago Bulls stepped up and said, you know what, 2 years and $47 million? We got that. We'll make that happen. And so the Miami Heat, give them credit for everything that Pat Riley's been able to do there. They've been champions. They have built multiple championship teams in different ways, but you want to talk about losing one of their all-time guys. It's different when you lose LeBron. You realize the best player in the league is gone back home. You lose like a guy, if Chris Bosh has to retire due to any kind of health concerns, well, you realize, okay, we lost a hired gun that was important to us. Dwayne Wade was their guy. You know, in Atlanta, I don't think we ever would consider Al Horford our guy. He was a really good player here. You know, best of luck to him. But it doesn't hurt the same way as when you lose your guy.
If this was a Tim Duncan and he's a post player, if this was, Patrick Ewing back in the day, or even Elijah Wan, if you were a post player, when we, Dale Davis, Jermaine O'Neal even, you could still kind of function later in your career as a 35, 36, 37, 38-year-old because you would kind of walk the ball up court and the old man would walk up court, plant his butt on somebody in the low post and call for the ball.
Go find a block and put your hand up.
Open. That's not what basketball is anymore. Now, I understand Miami and their hesitation. He is a 34-year-old shooting guard, and he also handles the ball quite a bit. He and Dragic were their backcourt.
Right.
But shooting guard, point guard, whatever, he would bring the ball up court just as much as anybody else on that team. And he'll be 35 during the next season, and then he'll be 36 the season after that, and he wanted somebody to guarantee, because that's what an NBA contract is, the season where he would be 37. Nothing but respect for Dwayne Wade. He's been an all-star every year of his career, except for his rookie year, and he's been fantastic. As recently as this year's playoffs, he was the best player on the floor for them.
Oh, definitely.
In this year's playoffs. But at some point, you become Joe Johnson, who just went to where? Utah?
Utah
for 2 years.
Small deal.
And not a whole lot of money. Dwayne Wade's better than Joe Johnson, but damn, he's not $40 million better than Joe Johnson.
And I think you are seeing a little bit of that trend where the Atlanta Hawks were willing to go to 5 years with Al Horford, but it was 5 years with conditions. Hey, you're going to make $20 million more here than you are if you take the 4 year somewhere else. But we're not maxing you out. That is not the way we're going to go.
If this was Shaquille O'Neal and he was going to be 32, 33, 34, 35, you sign it up because Shaquille would walk up.
Absolutely.
Open, low post. That's not what it is anymore. And for Al Horford, who has played center for virtually his whole career, but he doesn't operate on the low blocks. He is a pass and move and space and shoot, like jump shoot, not jump hook.
No.
And that's just what his game is. And so I understand the Hawks going, $113 million
is what he signed for in Boston.
Okay. And so we would have to give him like 5 and 140 something. They don't want to be in the 140 something million dollar Al Horford business. And I absolutely understand the Atlanta Hawks making that decision. The reason he's not here is because the Hawks didn't seriously pursue him.
And you have that same sort of scenario. Think about this too. For all the things that we said that were going to be possibilities, and the least likely one was, well, I mean, Al's going to leave somewhere or leave here for the money because he's chasing the money. We thought.
Well, you're right. We never said that. We said if Al leaves,
he's shooting for a title.
Or if it's a cash grab, he'll stay here.
Right, because here's where he's going to be able to make the most amount of money.
Well, he left, and it's a cash grab.
Because Boston, okay, he's a nice player. Boston is a team of nice young players, but no star player that can carry that roster beyond the second round of the playoffs as of now. If there's anybody who could ever make a move for Russell Westbrook, it is the Boston Celtics, but they don't have anywhere comparable enough. Al becomes essentially their second or third best player, mm-hmm. and your core of Al, Avery Bradley, and Isaiah Thomas is not enough to advance deep into the playoffs. So it's one of those deals where you took the money over 4 years because it was the most respect you were shown by any organization. And the Hawks, while their level of respect was out there for 5 years, it was not equal to what Boston was looking to do. They showed him more love.
You know what it is good enough to do, though? Is be the two seed.
Possibly.
Bradley and Thomas is a pretty good place to start. And then you've got Al Horford, who all you did is add. It's not like, you know, the Hawks, they added Dwight Howard, but they took away Al Horford. It's good enough to be the 2-seed because what was Boston, the 5 this year?
Boston was the 5 because Atlanta was the 4 and had home court.
Okay, so we were the 5 and we just took the second best player from the 4 who also just traded at starting point guard for a rookie. So we should be better. We should be able to move up. Who was the 3? Miami?
The 3 was Miami.
They just lost Dwayne Wade.
Right.
And then Toronto will come back sort of intact. Where did Biombo sign?
Biombo, I believe, went back there.
Okay, so and they got DeRozan as well. So, Moynihan, what are you doing? You're shaking your head, man. Jump on the mic.
I think Biombo left.
Oh, okay, well, we'll take a look at...
I think Biombo left. I'll look it up.
Oh, give us some info there.
Y'all should fight.
Yeah, that's really aggressive there. But here's the thing, though. Indiana's
so they
improved.
Can be the 2.
Well, but Indiana's improved. Toronto is Toronto. It's going to be very curious to see what Chicago can do now that they've got crazy Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade, and they're able to take care of what they're able to take care of. You have this muddled mix of it is Cleveland and then everybody else.
See, nobody in the East, though, was making moves to become the best team in the East. They were making moves to try to get the 2.
4 years, $72 million. Bismack Biombo goes to Orlando.
Orlando. Yeah.
So are y'all going to fight over this in the hall?
No, it's just one of those. He's not a player of consequence in my mind. It's like Biombo. He had a big playoff series, 4-72.
Boom.
Boom. That's actually how you get it.
Compared to some of the deals I've seen, like the guard for the Heat who played like 30 games and just got...
Dude, Dellavedova got $9 million a year.
He got like $45 million and he hadn't played.
Timothy Mozgov.
My gosh.
$64 million.
And so now I'm looking at Biombo going, all right, that's a pretty good deal. So you look at the Boston Celtics, and they say we have planted a flag to be the 2-seed in the East. They're not going to be the 1-seed. They're not better than Cleveland. Cleveland's still better than everybody else. But you got to do the best you can. And you weren't going to get Durant, even though you wanted him. You weren't going to get LeBron because LeBron was never a free agent. All right, well, who's next? Al Horford.
LeBron, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, okay, he'll be a free agent next year, hopefully. Maybe we take a shot at that point.
That was a good move for Boston because, again, they were just adding Al Horford. I promise you there is something about for the fans, and because the fans have been as nonplussed about this as I've ever seen for a player of Al Horford's stature. Now, Dominique Wilkins, best player in Hawks history. There's a chance Al Horford is the best draft pick this team has ever had.
Absolutely.
Pete Maravich was here like 5 years. I don't even know who. If you look at draft picks, because Dominique was a Utah pick and then a trade, Al Horford was a first-round pick. He played here 9 years, made 4 All-Star teams, averaged about 16 points and about 10 rebounds a game, and he was a really, really good player. And he left. And I have never seen a fan base be as non-affected by possibly your greatest draft pick ever leaving. Deion Sanders could have been the greatest Falcons draft pick ever. There are fans who wanted to burn down the stadium, and Deion tried to save management here. So, no. I wasn't re-signing there no matter what.
Yeah, I'm the one who's moving on.
So the Hawks fans hadn't cared at all, but there is something about the same money, but, quote, all we're doing is keeping him. And if all we do is go status quo, well, we know status quo isn't good enough. Whether it's fans, whether it's the front office, even a coach, if all we're doing is keeping, that changes how you view the exact same dollars as, for instance, Boston going, oh, we're adding Al Horford?
See, I tweeted this out. And this was 24, 48 hours before free agency was going. And I just wrote, 4 for $113, get ready, Atlanta. And immediately, just the wave of tweets back to me were, no, you can't pay him that. I'm like, no. That's what he's going to be offered by multiple teams. That was what the offer was with Boston, with the Wizards. That was what it took to get in the door of the discussion. By the time it was over, Atlanta was actually the third team.
Yeah.
It was all right, we're not going to really be looking at that so much. A little bit later tonight, Braves and Cubs. Tyrell Jenkins, did you get a chance to follow that where he was able to throw and was pretty solid as the starter? Yeah, but he came out after a certain amount of pitches. Snitker had basically pointed out that he thought he was gassed. To me, that makes sense because, remember, this is a guy that you haven't been cross-trading him as a starter. He's been a relief pitcher. Everything they've been working on is 20 pitches, 30 pitches, this is what you're going to do. And you train yourself to do those sorts of things. To me, it was a lot of fake frustration when people got angry about him coming out of the game. Yeah, I'd like to see him get another start. I thought he was impressive. At the same time, this is a long season. It's a bad season. It's tough to go ahead and follow. I just think that there's a point where the fan base wants to get angry about certain things, and you just say, hey, it's, you know what? You're trying to take care of a kid who hasn't been working as a starter for the better part of 3 months.
Yeah, the problem is Tyrell Jenkins had to start a game.
Yeah.
Okay, the problem is that...
Because of an ingrown hair, Chuck.
That De La Cruz, he's in your starting rotation. Was he a 27-year-old rookie?
Joel is 29.
Or 29, 20,
27,
okay, whatever.
20, yeah, regardless, he's a career minor leaguer.
And he not only got one start, then he got another start. He got lit up.
Boy, did he.
But Joel De La Cruz has gotten starts. Jolie Shasheen was getting starts.
Forgot about him.
You gave Casey Kelly a start. Aaron Blair has a start. He's 0-5. He's got an ERA of 8, and he's had 11 starts. The problem is this odd collection of players that you have given starts to, and the fact that Bud Norris is still tied for the team lead and wins with 3. That we are now post-July 4th, and your leader in wins now pitches for somebody else, and it's 3.
And just to remind you, Lucas Harrell will go
God
tonight.
Almighty. Lucas Harrell got a start.
This is now his third organization since 2010.
He was okay with the Astros.
He was with the White Sox initially, and then you got some production. He made some starts in 2012 and 2013. So, yeah, Lucas Harrell tonight. It's tough, and everybody is just circling the days. Okay, Swanson and Albies keep hitting right now. They've been hitting very well at AA. Everyone's just waiting. Whenever they come up, that's the next time where I don't care what's going on. You know, typically the Braves are always in the background, and I'll watch a handful of the games, and I'll pay attention to what's going on. That is my next one where it's tell the wife, don't come in the basement. Keep the kids over there. I'm ordering food in. Leave me alone. I'm watching this.
See, I think the Braves also, maybe indirectly, maybe unintentionally, they have done a great job of sort of distracting us from the big picture, because we're supposed to be talking about, you know, Tyrell Jenkins and why'd you pull him? And,
right.
And I'm saying, why did he get a start? Why are you to the point where you have either burned through so many pitchers, and I know you've had injuries, I know it. Why have you gone through so many pitching transactions? Now, some of them have been the same guy, Gwinnett, Atlanta, Atlanta, Gwinnett, Gwinnett, Atlanta, et cetera. But why is Tyrell Jenkins on the major league roster and getting starts? Why is De La Cruz getting starts? Why did Lucas Harrell get a start? He's about to have 2.
I wish I had more answers for you other than when we went to Gwinnett and we watched Lucas Sims get out there. And let me tell you, first off, it's a thunderbolt from God that's attached to his shoulder. I mean, it's really impressive. he has no idea where it's going. And that was, along with Aaron Blair, the next most major league ready guy.
Yeah, and Aaron Blair, there's no reason for him to go back to AAA on his...
Because he dominates there.
Yeah, I was watching a start maybe... I'm trying to remember which particular start it was. It was maybe two starts ago. They had Aaron... It was on TV. They did a graphic of Aaron Blair's numbers at AAA and his numbers at the major leagues. And I'm not talking about ERA or wins because it's zero at the major league level. Walks per nine innings, strikeouts per nine innings. At the AAA level, he's got like two walks and eight strikeouts per nine innings. At the major league level, it's basically the complete opposite of that. There's nothing for him to learn at the AAA level to go down there and throw seven innings of two-hit ball some more. All right, I got that figured out. At some point, you know he has talent. At some point, you've got to let him work through this. But right now, he's 0-5 with an ERA of 8.
And that is the problem when we talk about, and I get excited about the young guys coming up, but there is a reason why organizations try and protect certain guys so that they don't have to sit through a 1-14 type of season where they just get beaten up all over the,
yeah, you
the
don't,
place.
You don't want a rookie to be Anthony Young.
No, you
Does
don't want
anybody know who Anthony Young is?
I don't know if anybody still knows that.
All right, go look at Anthony Young. You don't want him. You don't want your young pitcher to be Anthony Young.
All right, that's how he puts a bow on that. All right, coming up next, we'll do a front office Los on the looming contract issue for Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. It's coming before you think. He's Chuck Oliver. I'm Carlos Medina. This is the Chuck and Chernoff Show on 680 The Fan.
Come on, minute. Get around here. I'm thirsty. Shots.
I really hope that's exactly how that plays out.
I can't promise you I'm going to do it. Like I said, I old Chuck would have done that, and then old Chuck had a lot of negative consequences. So,
doesn't new Chuck have every now and then just
no,
one or
no.
You know what? I'm going to get on Twitter and ask your wife.
No,
I can't DM her, but I can ask her.
Nobody DMs my wife but me.
That's right.
5 days at an all-inclusive resort. I want six beers. Here's six beers. I had two drinks in 5 days.
That is
old Chuck. You know what old Chuck did one day back in 2005?
I don't think I've ever said this. I've got AIDS.
No. Back in 2005, one night I walked out to my car in the Dantana's parking lot. And then one morning, I drove home. All right, that's old Chuck.
I've never had that sort of scenario. But
so that's not what I know.
No, okay. Well, you know what? I will, if you choose to partake in this
isn't there
power
an old, hour. Isn't there an old Carlos?
Yeah, you know what? I have Uber on my phone.
Yeah, there's not an old Hoyt. Domino.
Is there
old, there's an old Domino. Okay, Domino's back there. He's like, oh, yeah, there's an old Domino.
Oh, yeah. He's got stories.
They ain't stories.
No, there's a lot of truth and a lot of things that have gone on there. Right, we'll get to a front office close.
Leave the old whoever in your past.
I mean, I was drunk the whole time. They might have been. I'm not really sure.
See? There you go. This sounds like a perfect time to tell you about...
Does it?
The 7th Annual Green Card 2.0. 11 courses this time. No restrictions and 2 bonus courses.
See, they leave the old green card in the past. The one with restrictions and without the bonus courses.
The new one has all of these great things. It's the 2nd Annual Green Card brought to you by the Florida Space Coast. And it's also the final one of the year. You do get some really good courses here. Smoke Rise Country Club. You get the Collins Hill Golf Club. Also the Fairways of Canton. And as a bonus, they're also hooking up with 2 courses along Florida Space Coast, the Duran Golf Club and the Cocoa Beach Club. You get all of this for $219 with no restrictions, Chuck. It's a 680 Green Card presented by Florida Space Coast and Corona. It's on sale at 680thefan.com.
He's the man that knows the cap bonuses and all of that. He's the one that gets you good. Front office, so don't give a word. He's the guy who knows the law. Can't put him against the wall. He's the guy with all the answers. Matt and Chuck are backup dancers. Front office, Los knows it all. Front office, Los.
Brought to you by Subaru of Gwinnett and Hicks Roofing as well. Family owned and operated for 36 years in the Atlanta market. High-end products built into your roof at no additional cost. Visit them at hicksroofing.net.
Do you think they want to sponsor Winchuck's Dinner? Like, we can give a roof away if you beat me? No.
Maybe like some gutter work. because every now and then you have those times where you'll lose two or three.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't happen very often. It's like once every 5 years.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Hicks would be in the business of saying, yeah, here's three roofs.
Like if I
just have at it.
That really bad day when I lost all three rounds?
Yeah, when you were, I don't know, we were out somewhere.
Hey, Hicks,
and you're
out $22,000 today. Sorry.
I'm going to make that phone call. Hey, listen, Chuck lost every single one of these things, so really, really sorry about that. All right, I want to feature this in this edition of Front Office Los. Chuck, it happens so quickly in the NFL. You know, these guys, they come in, you have them as rookies. Before you know it, you give them a contract, they're into that contract, and then you have to start making decisions. Okay, do they get the third contract?
Mm-hmm.
You know, New Orleans has gotten to that point where now with Drew Brees, he's still worth it, but it gets a little iffy when you're going 7-9 every single year. Consider this with Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is going to make nearly $24 million as far as his cap hit for the upcoming season. We're going to see how it plays out. If the Falcons, given their schedule, which is decidedly tougher, you know, one of the toughest in the league, tied with the 49ers as the toughest, if they go 7-9, they could be a better team than last year and still go 7-9. Here's where you start running into issues, though. By 2017, Ryan's going to cost, from a cap standpoint, another $24 million. If you want to move on from him, you could save yourself $14 million. Now, I don't think you do
that.
You
want to move on from who?
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan?
But here's where I'm saying this. By the time you get through 2016 and 2017, let's say, for instance, is it perfectly legitimate they could miss the playoffs this year?
Yes.
And that would be the fourth straight year?
Yes.
Let's say you get through 2017 and you're an 8-8 or 9-7, you miss the playoffs.
I'm like Walter now. Yes.
And once we get to 2018, you're talking about a quarterback at 33 years old.
Oh, he's fine. He's got 5 years left after that. But barring an injury.
At $21.6 million that you could move on from and save $19 million. What I'm just saying ultimately is, if you consider banging your head against the wall 5 years in the NFL, which is like 50 years, mm-hmm. It's dog years in the NFL, mm-hmm. And you're not getting beyond the places, you're not getting back to where Ryan was in his early 20s into his mid-20s, you have to start having that conversation of what are we doing? Where are we going? Because once you get to 2018, no quarterback who is a franchise quarterback plays on a one-year deal who's worth it. They all get re-upped. And at that point, you got to make a decision after what could be five straight non-playoff years. Am I going to give him another $150 million?
After what season? After
2017, because 2018 is his final year on the deal.
Okay. I will say that...
That's not very far away.
I'm trying to... In any endeavor in life, whether it's quarterback of an NFL team, whether it's our country's strategy over in Iraq, nothing starts to work in year 11.
Right.
Nothing begins working. Okay, after 11 years, now it works.
The tide doesn't turn that
way. No, you would have figured something out. But Matt Ryan, not a perfect quarterback. Matt Ryan has not been the problem most of the time. Matt Ryan had really bad moments on far too consistent a basis last season, and especially going back 2 years, the throw against Detroit, the two throws against Cleveland, just bad, 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 bad. But, no, there's no scenario at all where the Falcons, if they can get him under contract again for another 5 years, they're going to do it. What will he be at the conclusion of this contract?
At the conclusion, by the time you reach the final year of the deal, he'll be 33 years old.
They won't reach the final year of the deal.
But that's what I'm saying.
$21 million a year?
What I'm saying, Chuck,
he'll get it for $24, $25 million, and that'll be the going rate.
Is that if for the next two seasons, if you don't make the playoffs this year, and let's say the next year you don't make the playoffs, you go into the final year of a contract with a quarterback who hasn't made the playoffs in five straight years, mm-hmm. and who's 33 years old, and you have one of two decisions: extend him for $150, maybe $160 million at that time, or get something for him. And that's your only two choices, because you're not going to let a perceived franchise quarterback, a guy that you say he's our leader, play out the final year of his deal.
You're right. And he is he's a quarterback in the NFL. It's like having a piece of fruit. Every single year that goes by, it gets less and less attractive in a lot of ways. Especially when your resume is Matt Ryan's, because we get so used to him being really good that we wonder why he's never been great. I tell you who else is going through this right now. is San Diego with Phillip Rivers.
Absolutely.
And I think Cincinnati's pretty close with Andy Dalton. They're like, hell, we got as far with A.J. McCarron last year. So there are places all over the league. There's a lot more places around the league where they've got a similar situation going on. And Sports Talk out there, they think it's the exact same thing. We're unique. We've got this decision. Nobody else does. Here's what's going to happen with Matt Ryan. He's going to get another five-year deal, and it's going to be for $24, $25 million, and it's going to be the going rate. And by the end of the contract, he'll be a 14-year Falcon, and he'll be the most accomplished player in franchise history.
That's front office lows. So I finished that up right there. Just going to put a big bow on it.
Well, it was really bad. You want to draft Deshaun Watson?
I'm just saying, you never know. These things happen.
He'll sell jerseys. Matt Ryan sells jerseys.
Charles Barkley was on the morning show this morning on The Rood Awakening. He was really, really good. He was just, you know, doling out what Charles does. And he had something to say about the Atlanta Hawks. And this is a large part of why I am excited about this bit of transition that they're going through. Here's what Charles had to say about what the Hawks have been over the last couple of years.
I mean, the Hawks have been mediocre for the last X amount of years. You know, even when they had the best record, I told you they were a fraud. And, you know, they got swept by the Cavaliers because everybody they played the first two rounds of the playoffs were no good. They were injured. But the Hawks haven't been good. They've been mediocre.
See, I think the front office, after taking a look at what they've been, especially even last year, had to be very aggressive and say, the way we're going about this is not working. And it's not getting us any closer. We're not even competitive with a team like the Cavaliers. Part of the reason why I believe that is that there was such a bottleneck of talent at one position, at forward. Here are the guys. Here are the two guys that do the exact same thing. Here's Al, and here's Paul Millsap, and here's what we're asking them to do. The league is played out on the wings. All the talent, all the versatility, everything is out on the wings.
And neither of those guys is a real three, and neither of them really is especially Millsaps, but neither of them is a five. And so you have this, we invented a new word, the
stretch four.
Okay, so we have a new term that's never existed. He's a stretch four. That means that either he's not tough enough or just has no interest in banging bows down near the rim, and which is why Tristan Thompson, who looks around, and what do you get, like $18 million a year? He's like, I'll do it.
He just looks around, especially in those Hawks series, he looks around and goes, nobody wants to be down here with me. I got this.
I'll do it. So Timofey Mozgov just got $70 million from, what, the Lakers?
From the Lakers, yeah.
And he's like, I'll do it. And I didn't even have to play in the finals because the matchup was bad.
But here's where the Hawks, and this is, again, remedying the situation. You saw the two first-round picks go over to shooting guards, small forwards. You saw the $70 million commitment over to Kent Bazemore. This is a team that is altering what their strength is supposed to be with a big man in the middle to help defend the rim.
Yes, and
that's encouraging for me.
And we beat Brooke Lopez in the playoffs anyway. We beat Gortat and Nene anyway. We did not have any answer for instance, Tristan Thompson.
None.
Or Kevin Love on the offensive glass. I'll give him credit. His three-point shooting is hit or miss, but damn, he was a great rebounder in the series. But Tristan Thompson's not why we got swept, and Kevin Love's not why we got swept. So I understand what the Hawks in general, hey, let's have a presence down there so we don't just get beat up on the boards. But you also brought in an older guy who hasn't been an all-star for the past two seasons, who gets his feelings hurt and has a bad back.
You also, though, and again, this is to counterpoint that, this team is going to be more athletic on the wings. Think about how frustrated we've all been when you see certain players, especially in the playoffs, blow right by the
yes,
Hawks defense.
I know.
And Kyle, again, it all falls on Kyle Korver, but it's more than just Kyle Korver because, let's face it, the wing defenders have not been very strong here. But from their team standpoint, they play solid defense. But in one-on-one situations, there hasn't been anyone outside of Damari Carroll here who could really handle someone on the perimeter. At least this team is recognizing this and saying, all right, we're going to make adjustments. Hey, we got the big guy. He can sulk. He can do whatever. Hopefully he turns over a new leaf. You're hopeful of that. But at least they invested in what the rest of the NBA is winning with, which is wing players, wing defenders.
Part of the reason Al Horford was not signed, I mentioned this, and tell me what you think about this,
yeah,
that there is the mentality of, well, all we're doing is keeping a piece. And I mentioned this, a couple of segments ago, that without Horford, well, all we're doing is keeping a piece. And so we're going to let him go. Do you think Atlanta fans are really impressed by keeping Bays?
No.
Because, we already had him.
Right.
By keeping Paul Millsaps, well, it's better than losing him, but we didn't get better just by keeping him. Toronto said, we added Damari Carroll, and they wound up with the two. Boston said, we just added Al Horford. We just had a discussion. Boston could get the two. Atlanta ain't getting the two.
Possibility.
Because
if this thing comes together,
they are less at the point.
Certainly. Although, when you look at the projections, though, DS17 has been a 17-7 guy over his minutes. It's the same thing as
sure.
Jeff Teague. I think that's where they just said,
but you're better with Teague
You're better right now with Teague than Schroeder.
Well, you had Teague and Schroeder.
Right.
And so you're better with Teague and Schroeder than just Schroeder. You already had Bazemore.
But you also had an imbalance too, Chuck. When you're playing two small point guards, they didn't have a small forward who could check anybody in this.
Whatever
league.
You had with Horford, with Kyle Korver, you don't have that anymore.
No,
you're going to have a 12-minute, 14-minute a night guy who comes in like the last 2 minutes of the first quarter, the last 4 minutes of the first half, and then whatever he's got in the tank in the fourth quarter when you need to bomb some threes. That's what Kyle Korver is going to be. You are less at the point. I think you're less at the three, and you're going to be different at the five.
Certainly.
But I don't know that you needed to be different. You needed to be better at the five for this offense, and now you're just different.
I needed different. And you got it, man. You can sell different. I'm in for different.
You got an older guy who's not an all-star anymore who gets hurt feelings and has a bad back.
This is kind of describing this entire show, really. Like all of the Chuck and Chernoff show. Like every little piece of us. All.
Do I have the bad back or the hurt feelings?
I think you're more of the bad back. Hoyt and I are more of the hurt feelings.
Okay. So
let's get to a Chuck and Chernoff special report.
This is a Chuck and Chernoff special report. If you don't listen to this, you could get an STD. A bad one.
We share this herpes.
All right. Anyone behind the glass in here, Mooneyham, feel free to join in. How bad of an idea does Chuck went snorkeling in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico sound?
That sounds like the start of a comedy routine.
Have you ever been snorkeling?
Yes, and it is.
I have not.
It is that balance between kind of fun and then thinking maybe I drown if I mess this up.
Mooneyham, snorkeling ever?
No.
Okay.
Will not do that.
Well, okay. Fine.
I think the same thing Lowe's does.
A fine approach.
Right.
I won't do that. Like how I got this job, I walked into ESPN Zone one day. Sports talk host. I bet I can do that. I basically had that idea since I've been 3 years old. Well, I bet I can do that. My wife and I got on a catamaran the other day that just went out and out and out and out into the middle of the Gulf of Mexico.
I'm sure she's loving this at this point.
And I thought it was, what do they call it, ceviche?
Ceviche.
Ceviche with fish chopped up and some tomatoes and whatever. It's good stuff. It's like, all right, great. And they had beverages there and...
Well, they get you liquored up, yeah.
Which is a great idea for what comes. We're laying out on the front of the boat, and there's like, I don't know, like four or five couples there. And then all of a sudden, Luis in the back starts handing out snorkeling gear.
Right.
Oh, I can do that. My wife, who was born in Miami, have you ever snorkeled? Nah, I got it. I'm on the mother. I got this. So... I'm just going to be, I don't need the snorkel. I don't need the fins. Just give me the mask. I'm good. That was about 2 seconds later. And you go way under apparently when you just jump off the side of a boat.
Yeah.
But just hold your breath and you'll float back to the surface, which happened. But I don't know how that, because I just kind of like stepped off the side of the boat to go down. And I figure, okay, then I would hold on to the side of the boat, put my mask on, and I'm good. When I surfaced, I'm not exaggerating. I was 75 feet from the boat, and they have this. Again, never been snorkeling. They had my wife, who she's got a degree in biology, she's got a master's in biology. She loves like underwater. So we went to Aruba. We went on a submarine, so she could see stuff under the water.
Right.
She loves all that stuff. I was like, yeah, I can do this. So they have this rope off the end of the boat with a float on it. So that if you get close, you can just kind of reel yourself in. I'm 40 feet from the rope. And because I've been cool, hey, do you want the life preserver?
No, I'm good.
No. Do you want the flippers? I got to tell you, those flippers, if you need to cover some ground in water.
Yeah, they work. It's amazing you didn't take them.
So, have you ever heard the worst thing you can do is?
Panic.
Right. That was me. I'm not even kidding.
Chuck.
My lungs full of salt water, and I'm floating out there, and I'm like flailing, and Kristen, my wife, she looks at me, and in her idea, she sees me and just waves back, hey!
She's calling Wilson out to you.
It's like, no, I'm not. I'm not waving. So I was like, all right, I have to do the death thrash. Just, I don't have to get to the boat. I just got to get to the end of that rope.
So about 30 feet out from the rope.
But these damn waves are like pushing me sideways. Like, you know, the boat's at 12 o'clock. I'm down at 6. Well, the waves are pushing me over to about 3:30.
And you're not a very strong swimmer, are you?
Well,
I mean, you know how to swim, but...
I know how to swim, but not when it's got waves and...
It's the current. That's the thing, is that's why you were so far from the boat, is because of the current, right?
I'm thinking,
now you
gotta
fight him.
I can either throw this guy's mask in the water and lose it, or I can put it on for the swim, or I can try to hold it while I swim. So I went for the, I'm going to hold it, and that didn't work at all.
Yeah, good luck with that. That's
long story short, I finally made it back to the end of the rope. Do you see that movie, what was it, Open Water?
Oh, with when got all the sharks and everything around him?
When I surfaced, I was at this exact angle where I looked to my right, and the boat was just beyond my peripheral. So I start looking to my left, and I like turned into an owl almost. I'm like, the damn boat's gone.
Oh, no.
How did this? But it was at the perfect angle behind. So finally, I make it to the end of the rope, and I start reeling myself in.
See, at least you've learned. Whenever they offer you the life vest,
yeah, they do it for a reason.
It's because it makes it easier to stay on top of the water.
Yeah, it does.
And to look down while you're snorkeling.
Why didn't you text me on Sunday any of this?
You didn't tell me you were going to get out there and try this. We almost lost Chuck Oliver at sea.
So if jumping into the water with no flippers, no life preserver, and hanging on to the mask with your right hand, if that counts as snorkeling, I snorkeled.
You're going to get like a diver's badge for that.
I was terrified. I almost drowned.
You're very lucky.
Can I give you some advice on this, though? If you don't want to look like the little bee with the life jacket
that's harsh.
On.
Okay, that's harsh.
Just have it next to you, and that way you can climb up on it if you need to, and then you can swim under, float around for a couple minutes, and come right back to the life jacket.
Okay, I have a better idea. How about I just stay on dry land now? No more water slides, no snorkeling, no more... More like anything without both of my feet on planet Earth.
Water,
how about that?
Water parks, that's been one of your things for a long time.
Not anymore. I'm like looking over at my wife and see, here's another thing. She's like 110 pounds. Everything is easier for small people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She can swim to the boat and get up on the boat without help.
Well, again, I need Luis to kind of give me a little bit of a...
give a little pick me up.
Because the ladder on the end of the boat is not meant for...
No, it's not. People of size do not enjoy the ladder.
People
on the
of size. Thank
yes.
you. Ample people. So I get back on the boat. It's like, I'm done. But I swear, my wife of all people, I look over there. I'm like, ah! She's like, hey! Waving back.
And there you have it. Chuck Oliver has now sworn off water, which, what is it, 80% of the world is water?
Oh, yeah, there's four elements. What is it? Earth, fire, wind, and water.
And you've sworn off one entirely.
25% of the available elements to me. I am done with.
All right. We got a 99 problems coming up. And obviously, we just heard about one from Chuck.
What's hell, coming up in 99 problems? I don't know. I don't know. Something with Texas A&M.
Okay. Texas A&M, 99 problems. No. One SEC powerhouse has something going on. We'll tell you about that next. It's the Chuck and Chernoff Show right here on 680 The Fan.
It's Texas.
I'm Floyd Oman, 680 The Fan. Up to the minute traffic.
You're not a very strong swimmer, are you? It's the Chuck and Chernoff Show. Carlos Medina sitting in one more day for Matt Chernoff. You do have Chuck Oliver back. He just told his story of almost drowning in the Gulf of Mexico. We do have an interesting question from Twitter from Kevin.
I don't want it.
He wants to know, how come Dolphin Chuck can't swim in the ocean? Seems like a legit question
to
me.
See, it wasn't about swimming necessarily. It was about... it's about buoyancy.
Give him a fish so he can go away. Right. Here you go, Dolphin Chuck.
Al Campanis would tell you I didn't have buoyancy.
In this case, you didn't. Let's get to a 99 problem.
If you're having sports problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems. College ball ain't one. Yeah, Chuck!
99 problems, presented by Hicks Roofing. Simply a more experienced roofer.
99 Problems counts down to the Friday before the opening Saturday of college football 2016. Friday represents day one, the final day before the start of college football, though this also ignores the bootleg games that will kick off Thursday, day two before the start of college football season. 99 Problems is a product of Chuck and Chernoff and cannot be substituted for other countdowns regarding college football season. Also note that no one here majored in math.
The scenario that no one expects, not just from the SEC or the West or whatever, but specifically Texas A&M, we do expect their offense to just be incendiary, all right? That's what you're supposed to be with Kevin Sumlin. You sling it around, you get the ball out, you let fast guys make a play and make somebody miss, and hopefully it's a touchdown. That's the phrase, give me speed and space. Speed and get the ball out, let somebody, make a defender miss, boom, gone. They can do that. Christian Kirk could be an All-American this year. Ricky Seals-Jones, who's still kind of developing as a quarterback in college and high school, still developing as a college receiver. Speedy Noyle, Josh Reynolds, they got plenty of those guys out fast, and if Trevor Knight can play a little bit, all right, well, maybe the offense is doing what it's supposed to. But when we talk about the scenario no one's expecting, here's where I say the Aggies could win on defense, and that could be the case. Deshaun Hall, Myles Garrett, best pair of pass rushers in the SEC, maybe in America. But it goes beyond that. They don't have a lot of talent, I don't think, at linebacker, and the coaching in the SEC is too good. They're going to find a way to make Texas A&M pay for that. But when you get beyond that, they have a fantastic safety tandem. Justin Evans, kid transferred in from JUCO, really good tackler, and they play him up close to the line of scrimmage. In that defense, the free safety and the strong safety sometimes don't have very different roles, but they'll move Justin Evans up a little bit. He's a really good ball player. He's a hitter. Armani Watts at, their version of free safety, he's a potential All-American. I mean, this guy looks like an NFL player already, and he's only entering his junior year. So, the original surprise when Chavis went there was, okay, the defense is getting better. When Deshaun Hall came back from injury, it's like the defense is better and they have great pass rush. Now they have a great pair of safeties as well. So it goes beyond just one guy on the outside. Hey, we got Von Miller, we can rush the quarterback. Or 2 years ago when you had Myles Garrett. This is different. They can cover on the back end. They've got safeties who can kind of fill in the run game or those quick slants, the crossing routes, etc. For several reasons, Texas A&M could win on defense. It's not just the pass rush.
Man, it's starting to sneak up. Not too much longer with the hold up. Time for another one. This year will be fun. Who will be crowned the champion? 58 days till football's back. College football's back. 58 days till college football's back. College football's back. I don't want to
hear about the seven. And he really loves your work, so every single time you take a shot at Harrison's work, he's a little hurt by that. It's kind of like Hoyt's friend Trevor.
Is that Harrison singing?
Yeah. But Harrison's like the closet hip-hop head. Like, he doesn't want to sing anything. He just wants to rap everything.
The fair-skinned boy with the red hair?
Comes in all shapes and sizes these days, Chuck.
Okay. Rock on, Harrison.
That's how pervasive hip-hop is. You gotta pay attention to that sort of thing. All right, coming up next, we do have a confidential. One NBA star's wife says she's sorry. One teen takes a shot at the one guy who got away, and oops, looks like they're going to be less money to throw around, especially a lot less than we thought. That's coming up next, right here on the Chuck and Chernoff Show, 680 The Fan.